Blog Talk Radio.
Era notte a târziu.
It was very late at night.
Stăteam pe o piatră afară.
I was sitting outside on a rock.
Lui Stan i-am arătat piatra că nu a fost la mine.
As Stan said, I showed him the rock when he came to my home.
Acolo stăm și mă gândeam ce am făcut eu.
And I was just thinking, what did I do?
Plângeam să nu mă vadă familia.
I was crying so my family wouldn't see me.
Deodată am văzut că vine o lumină spre mine.
And all of a sudden I saw a light coming towards me.
Când am văzut lumina, am crezut că e o mașină.
When I saw the light, I thought it was a car.
În Italia și în România mă urmări cu mașina să mă omoare.
Because in Romania and in Italy they always try to run me over with cars. So I thought, they found me here too.
Dar n-a fost mașină,
but it was not a car.
Că lumina m-a cucerit,
the light surrounded me.
Și din lumina m-a auzit aceeași voce.
And out of the light I heard the same voice.
Era același înger.
It was the same angel.
Dumitru, de ce ești disperat?
Dumitru, why are you so despaired?
De ce m-ai pedepsit așa de tare?
Why did you punish me so harshly?
Ce am făcut eu?
What did I do?
Ce nu m-a lăsat pe mine în pușcărie?
Why couldn't you let me stay in prison?
Familia avea unde să stea.
But my family would have had a home.
Zic, eu n-am un implicat cap.
I don't have a bed to let my head down on.
De ce m-ai adus aici?
Why was I brought here?
Dumitru, te-am adus aici că țara asta va...
Dumitru, I brought you to this country because this country will burn.
Și m-ai adus să mă ard aici și nu m-ai lăsat să mor în pușcărie în țara mea.
So why did you bring me here to burn? Why didn't you let me die in jail in my own country?
Dumitru, taci.
He said, Dumitru, be quiet.
Urcă-te lângă mine.
Get beside me.
Ce aparat a avut, nu.
I don't know what the device was.
M-a tras lângă el.
But he pulled me beside him.
Mi-a arătat toată California.
And he showed me all of California. Do you see what I've shown you? This is the Sodom and Gomorrah.
Păcatul lor a ajuns înaintea lui Dumnezeu.
Their sins have reached God.
Și Dumnezeu a hotărât să-i pedepsească pentru.
And God has decided to punish them by fire.
M-a dus și mi-a arătat Las Vegas.
He came and showed me Las Vegas.
Aici e Sodoma și Gomorrah.
This is a Sodom and Gomorrah.
Într-o zi va...
And one day it will burn.
Mi-a arătat New York.
He came and showed me New York.
Aici e New York.
This is New York.
Aici
this is a Sodom and Gomorrah. In one day it will burn. And then he showed me Florida. This is Florida. This is a Sodom and Gomorrah. And in one day it will burn.
You've been listening to the Wake Up America message with Dimitri Dudeman. For a copy of this very important message, please go to our website at handofhelp.com. Never before in the history of our country has our nation been in more jeopardy than now. Please order a copy of the video Wake Up America at the handofhelp.com website and get the warning out while we still have time. This is the Light of Truth radio broadcast with Michael Boldea.
All right. Welcome to the program, and thank you for joining us. This is the Light of Truth radio broadcast. I am your host, Michael Boldea, and once again, it is my humble honor to be with you live. It is 6 p.m. Central Standard Time, and we've got a lot of stuff to talk about again. It seems that every week there's something to talk about. One of the things that I saw in my news feed today that kind of make me smile was the fact that Romania, which is my home country, has confirmed that they will be moving their embassy, or at least transferring it, to Jerusalem. So America confirmed that they would be doing this some time ago, and now Romania has followed suit, and they said that yes, we will be relocating the Romanian embassy to Jerusalem. So I thought that was something that jumped out at me, and I thought I'd share it. Now, I know there are a lot of naysayers about this. Oh, it's going to make, you know, so-and-so angry, usually the Muslim world, but they're already angry. This is the thing that the naysayers that, you know, We shouldn't, you know, poke the hornet's nest. Well, the hornets are already buzzing. That's one of the things that we have to come to terms with. That's one of the things that we have to understand, is that the hornets are already buzzing. You're not poking a hornet's nest. You're doing what's right. And sometimes in doing the right thing, you will offend and anger people bent on doing the wrong thing. Now, I realize this notion of passivity, so they leave us alone, is not new, but it has been growing, even among Christians. I've read messages to myself, and I've read comments on certain other cites from supposed believers to those who said, it's a good thing that the U.S. is moving the embassy to Jerusalem, because Jerusalem is the capital of Israel. We all know it. And, everybody was apoplectic. This is going to start World War III. Everything's starting World War III. You know, it's a cat ran across the White House lawn. It's going to start World War III. By the way, Syria hasn't started World War III. We talked about this at length last week. And I was hoping against hope they'd do nothing. They did a sortie of bombings. The Syrians took it on the chin, and then that was that. No further lesson required, apparently. The Russians did come out and say that they're not pleased with our decision, but the Russians aren't ready yet to start war. And when they feel ready, then we're in trouble, kids. But until they feel ready, they'll back down because they realize Syria is not a nation worth, you know, starting nuclear war over. We should have realized this too, but, you know, nobody's perfect. Some people are, you know, downright average, if not below average, when it comes to, you know, morality or perfection or everything else. That's what humanity is, but so standard that they won't hold themselves. Let me put it that way, because I've taken a lot of flack from believers for making my position known, for still saying that yes, one of the two candidates were far better than the other, and I do believe that of the two, the better candidate won, at least better for the country and for you as a citizen of this nation. Now, as I'm watching certain things unfold, and as we're seeing the layers being peeled back on the onion that is Washington, D.C., one thing is becoming manifestly clear. Let's put it that way. If Hillary would have won, none of the corruption being exposed right now would have been exposed. It would all have been swept under the rug. Those few people who had anything to say about it would have been called conspiracy theorists, and people who broke laws, the people who committed criminal infractions would have gotten a nice bonus, would have probably gotten a cush job in the, you know, government arm of their choice. But the other side won, and this threw everything asunder. And now the things that these people did to ensure Hillary's victory is starting to come out. And you could see, I mean, saying that they play dirty, that's an understatement. Saying that they play dirty is just, you know, saying that, you know, it's less bright at night than the day. That's sort of the comparison. So, yeah, apparently there is a slew of criminal referrals. And one, namely, who was it? Andrew McCabe, who was second in command of the FBI. I mean, this isn't a lowly desk jockey. This guy was second after Comey in the FBI. And now the Office of the Inspector General, which isn't some Republican hack or some Republican senator or congressman who has an axe to grind. It's the Office of the Inspector General of the Department of Justice. And they have referred Deputy Director Andrew McCabe to the U.S. Attorney's Office for the District of Columbia for criminal prosecution. So it's not like he jaywalked or, you know, threw his gum away in the street. They are referring this man for criminal prosecution. And there was a time not long ago when he got fired that everyone was up in arms that he was going to lose his pension. Well, I'm sorry, but if you commit criminal infraction and the office of the inspector general is forwarding your name for criminal prosecution, yeah, you kind of deserve to lose the pension that you would be getting from taxpayer money. Just saying. So we're gonna get into this because it's getting a little heated, and I'd wager, if I were a betting man, that the hotter it gets for the Democrats, because there's also a slew of names that are being referred for criminal referrals by Republican lawmakers. So this one person was referred to the District of Columbia for criminal prosecution by the Office of the Inspector General. There are, however, a bunch of other names that are being referred for criminal referrals by Republican lawmakers. So we're going to get into this just so you get a portrait, a picture, a snapshot, if you will, of how corrupt the entire machine is. And we would not know any of this had the other side won, would have been summarily swept under the rug. Anyone that still had the temerity to voice any sort of objection would have been silenced or bought off, because that's what these dirty, dirty people do. And so when you hear that, you know, there are certain institutions that are beyond questioning, there are institutions that are pristine, there aren't. Because institutions are populated with men and women who have agendas, who have political views. And some of these men and women take it upon themselves to think for you. They take it upon themselves to decide the fate of a nation and do their utmost, including commit acts of criminality, to sway the nation in a direction that they seem fitting. So yes, this happened, and we would not know that it did had the other side won the presidential election. So the entire Russia narrative is just collapsed in on itself. The reason that they got a FISA warrant, as Donald Trump put it, wiretap his wires, because that's what happened. The guy wasn't lying. They wiretapped the man. They listened in on his conversation. Why? Because there was a dossier that was paid for by the Democratic National Committee and Hillary Clinton. Millions of dollars. Remember back some time ago, the PP dossier, where it was alleged that very strange things happened. Yeah, it was a fabrication. It was paid for by Hillary Clinton and her henchmen. And that's what was used to get a FISA warrant on Donald Trump and his entourage. So if you go down the road of, you know, fruit from the poison tree, that warrant should have never been issued. And still, they haven't found a thing a year later into the investigation. So, you know, all of the, oh, he's about to get impeached. I don't see it. Because there's very well-established guidelines as to what is required for impeachment. And it's not because some Hollywood starlet who's a has-been and can't get an acting job decides one day that she doesn't like the way the country's going, because the LGBTQFIXX isn't getting enough attention. Yeah, good times. So just because a handful of really vocal people don't like who won the election, it doesn't mean that you can impeach the individual. But let's get back to the corruption issue, because look, this kind of thing happens a lot in banana republics. This kind of thing happens a lot in my country, I'll be honest with you. Corruption is the name of the game. People try to game the system. It is what it is. But see, when we take the moral high ground and exclaim and pronounce to one and all that we have the moral superiority, seeing this kind of thing happening here is a wee bit off-putting. So we're going to get into what lawmakers did, and then we're going to get into what the inspector general did. And I think a handful of people are having sleepless nights now. It's amazing to me how everything they wanted to do to this sitting president is being done to them. It's being turned around on them. I'm not trying to draw any comparisons, so don't start there. But it's an obvious thing. Now, another thing that I saw is that Trump's support among evangelicals is still holding strong even after the oh-so-innocent and virginal madam came out and alleged that she spanked his bottom or something. I don't know. I didn't read the whole article because it was just insane. Now, she's making quite a bit of money off her newfound fame because, let's face it, she's a has-been porn starlet, and those women don't end up very well. Unless they find Jesus, they usually end up in a trailer with a needle in their arm. So, yeah, she had motive to be less than forthright about anything having to do with the now sitting president of the United States. And some of the mass media who have recently found religion, who have recently become oh so innocent themselves, don't understand how he still holds such support among evangelicals. And to be honest with you, the fast answer, the quick answer, the easy answer is because most evangelicals saw through the nonsense. This thing was so thinly veiled, the intent of it was so thinly veiled, that most people with a head on their shoulders go, yeah, we see that they're trying to play us. And you know what? I, for one, am tired of getting played. When open homosexuals and perverts and hedonists start moralizing to me about how can what, you know what, shut up. So that's I think the feeling of most people when they see these pompous fools whose only job in life is to read a teleprompter, and some of them just read any word that comes on there. When you see them try to pontificate and moralize, knowing who they are and what they do, people go, yeah, all right, you know what, we're okay. Let it be. So, yeah, support among evangelicals still holding strong even after the whole nonsense. And you know what? They're going to keep battering and battering and battering because that's what they know how to do. I've talked about this before. If you're going to admire anything about the other side, is that they don't know how to quit. If something happens that they didn't foresee, if something happens that doesn't go their way, they go on the offensive. Now, some of them are losing their minds along the way, and it's fun to see. I'm not going to deny that. But, you know, there comes a point, even when the staunchest hater of this president has to scratch their head and go, how is it that he's still standing after all of this? How is it that after all of these attacks, because look, the media is in the bag for the Democratic Party and everybody knows this. And anytime you turn on the evening news, you have to take everything they say with a grain of salt. Begin from a position of doubting and saying that they're admitted liars. And then go from there. So all that propaganda, because that's what's happening, we're being propagandized. All the propaganda apparently isn't sticking, and they don't know what to do. Now, Republican lawmakers on Wednesday sent a slew of criminal referrals to Attorney General Jeff Sessions for a number of Obama administration officials and senior FBI employees for violations of the law in connection to the Clinton email and Trump-Russia investigation. And I'm betting that all the people that were named in this document are now also wishing that the rapture was going to take place April 23rd. So the number of those hoping for rapture is growing exponentially. But let's continue with this. Specifically, they sent criminal referrals to Sessions for former FBI Director James Comey, former Secretary of State Hillary, where's my pantsuit, Clinton, former Attorney General Loretta, we talked about Golf Lynch, former FBI Deputy Director Andrew, I didn't lie, McCabe, as well as FBI Special Agent Peter Strzok and his lover. That's right, the article says lover. FBI lawyer Lisa Page for separate violations. So this is an incestuous stew between FBI and power brokers and power players in Washington, D.C. So yes, separate violations for these folks, and all of this was sent by Republican lawmakers. The criminal referrals, first reported by investigative journalist Sarah Carter, were made by Representative Ron DeSantis of Florida. So if you live in Florida, kids, and this man is up for re-election, go vote. A senior member of the House Judiciary and Oversight and Government Reform Committee, who is leaving the House to run for Florida governor, and 10 other colleagues. So you might have a good governor there. Because this is what the narrative is going to be. Well, they lost, so just, you know, let sleeping dogs lie. Well, if they broke the law, it doesn't matter if they lost. They still broke the law. We're trying to extend grace to people who, first and foremost, deserve no grace regarding their actions, and who, second of all, would extend no grace to you if you were off on your taxes by a dollar. Just saying. So this continues and says, signatories, including GOP reps Andy Biggs, Dave Bratt, Jeff Duncan of South Carolina, Matt Gaetz, Paul Gosar, Andy Harris, Jody Heiss, Todd Rokita, and a couple others. And they signed this because they said they believe that those in positions of high authority should be treated the same as every other American. Amen. We want to be sure that the potential violations of law outlined below are vetted appropriately, said the letter. Now, if this can of worms continued to be opened, I think eventually someone is going to buckle. I think someone is eventually going to spill the beans, as the kids like to say. And when that happens, you're going to see some dominoes falling. They said Comey potentially broke the law when he chose not to seek charges against Clinton for leaking classified memos of his conversations to President Trump, to his friend Daniel Richmond, to give to the press, and for lying to lawmakers. So but the man wrote a book. How can you doubt a man who wrote a book? Well, apparently they do. Because near the end there, but that's, you know, that's what you get with ingrained politicians and people who don't know how to do anything else but be in quote-unquote public service. Yeah, they're serving themselves. They're not serving the public. They said Clinton potentially broke the law when disguising payments to Fusion GPS, the firm that produced the Trump dossier. We were just talking about that. Despite mandatory disclosures to the Federal Election Commission. Lynch, they said, potentially broke the law when she threatened a former FBI informant who had tried to come forward in 2016 with information related to the Uranium One deal that was approved in 2010. We're talking about tens and hundreds of millions of dollars exchanging hands here for favors. They sold, what was it, 10% of America's uranium to Russian concerns. They meaning the Clinton family. And that's who we were supposed to vote for. That's who we were supposed to see sitting in the Oval Office making decisions that would affect our children and grandchildren. Seriously. McCabe, the man who is in the sights of the Inspector General, potentially broke the law when he lied to investigators four times when questioned about a leak that he had arranged. So this is how these people get even. They arrange leaks. They go to a reporter and say, "Hey, I've got a story for you." Strzok and Page potentially violated the law by interfering in the investigation of Clinton's private email server. The letter cites a Wall Street Journal report that said their text messages to one another revealed FBI officials tried to eliminate evidence that Clinton had compromised high-level communications with then-President Obama. So this goes all the way to the tippy-top-top. And they've been trying their darndest to keep the name Obama out of all of this. Because they want him to remain untouchable. They want him to remain free and clean. And now it's starting to seep so much that his shoes are getting muddy. So I'm waiting to see stick together or if they throw Hillary Clinton under the bus. But either way, it'll be fun to watch. Now, the report provides the following alarming specifics, among others. Mr. Strzok texts Ms. Page to tell her that, in fact, senior officials had decided to water down the reference to President Obama to another senior government official, the criminal referral said. That is serious business. Finally, the lawyers referred all Justice Department and FBI personnel, including Comey, McCabe, former Acting Attorney General Sally Yates, and former Acting Deputy Attorney General Dana Bonte, for potentially breaking the law by using unverified and false information to obtain a surveillance warrant on former Trump campaign volunteer Carter Page. Indubitably. So they knew information was unverified and or false, and still they went ahead with it because they had a very defined agenda. They did not want to see the outcome of the election go the way it went. Carter also reported that other recent documents obtained by congressional investigators suggest possible coordination by the Obama White House, the CIA, and the FBI in investigating the Trump campaign. So now let's put on our logic hat here. Let's do a little logical deduction. You had the Obama White House, the CIA, and the FBI all investigating the then Trump campaign. You also have a practice of sensitive information being leaked about individuals you do not like or particularly care for. So, given that the Trump campaign was investigated by the CIA, the FBI, and the White House at the time, and that leaks are nothing new to these people and they're more than willing to do it, if they had found anything, do you not think that it would have been on the front page of every major newspaper the next morning? If they had found that indeed there was collusion between Trump and the Russians, do you not think that Anderson, the Christian mocker Cooper, would have smiled his smug and condescending smile and say, "We told you. We told you there was something fishy here. How could she have lost? What happened?" Can't bring themselves to believe the reality that common folk rose up and voted someone they did not approve of into power. And so they concocted the Russia theory without any evidence but a dossier that was paid for by the Clinton campaign. Again, keep in mind, CIA, FBI, and the then White House. Culture of leaks. If they had found anything even remotely resembling collusion with Russia, if they had found anything even remotely resembling obstruction of justice, we'd all know about it. How long is this going to go on? This investigation into Russian collusion? Because Wolf the Blitzer is getting old. For Wolf Blitzer's sake, let's conclude this before he goes to the great beyond. I wonder what they're going to talk about once the Russia thing just dies, because it has to. Because they're not really talking about this, the thing that we're talking about the criminal, acts of former power players. They moved on from Russia to other things that are irrelevant, because they're still hoping against hope that something is going to stick. CIA Director John Brennan, there's someone else that needs to be investigated, had briefed Senator Harry Reid in August of 2016, prompting Reid to send a letter to then FBI Director James Comey asking him to investigate allegations of collusion, of course. Reid then reportedly stayed in close touch with Comey. There's somebody that needs to go to jail. Harry Reid. Oh, the swamp just reeks off of Harry's skin. But yes, this is what happened. They sent out this letter to Attorney General Jeff Sessions. And at this point, as nice of a man that Jeff Sessions is, I don't think he can avoid this. I don't think he can ignore it. I think it's time to put the hammer down and actually start draining. Because all of us have popcorn ready in hand. We want to see some draining of the swamp. Now, as far as Andrew McCabe's concerned, his situation is a little bit more dire. He's in a wee bit more of a pickle, if you will, because the Department of Justice's Office of the Inspector General has referred fired FBI Deputy Director Andrew McCabe to the U.S. Attorney's Office for the District of Columbia for criminal prosecution. Multiple reports indicated Thursday, meaning today. This is fresh news, because I give you nothing stale. Inspector General Michael Horowitz's investigation of McCabe's involvement in leaks to the media concluded last month. The final report indicated three instances in which McCabe lied to investigators, prompting Attorney General Jeff Sessions to fire McCabe even before the report was released. So there's that similarity. It's about they're good at leaks. They've always done it. They're going to keep doing it. And if the CIA, FBI, and former White House couldn't find dirt, they're not going to find any. Because if they would have found it, it would have leaked by now. On Thursday, multiple outlets reported that Horowitz's office also made a criminal referral based on McCabe's conduct outlined in the report to the Office of U.S. Attorney Jesse Liu, the top federal prosecutor in the nation's capital. In contrast to the headline-grabbing criminal referrals made by members of Congress, this type of referral is part of the DOJ's standard operating procedure and stand a much better chance of resulting in actual criminal charges against McCabe. It is unclear exactly when the referral was made, exactly which changes were recommended, or how it was received by Liu and her office. After his firing, McCabe, making frequent appeals to President Trump's opponents, managed to raise more than $400,000 for his legal defense fund, perhaps in anticipation of criminal prosecution. So, who was it that he threatened to roll on? Who was it that he threatened to expose that he was able to raise in the blink of an eye $400,000 for his legal defense fund? So I think this is only the beginning of something that's going to get a lot darker and a lot more troublesome. Let's use that word. It's going to get a lot more troublesome because we're going to see just how far this thing extends. We're going to see that it wasn't an isolated incident. We're going to see that it wasn't a handful of people out in the middle of nowhere. This guy was second in command of the FBI. And if you know that you're innocent, you don't start raising money for a legal defense fund. Now, someone who I believe was innocent that got railroaded, this self-same individual was the general that admitted to some foolish thing just to be done with it. Let me find his name. I forget his name, but he was in Trump's national security advisor. And because of consistent pressure against him, he sold his home. He sold his home to pay for his defense fund. Because when the government comes after you, you're going to cry uncle sooner or later. And all of these people that were named, all of these people for whom who have yet to see justice, they never thought this day would come. They never thought that they would have to answer for their crimes because Trump wasn't supposed to win. It was all supposed to be a joke. They were going to get a good laugh, and then Hillary would rein in another 4 years of Obama policy. So this threw them for a loop. And it's astounding to me how disingenuous politicians and media alike can be. To try to frame this issue as Russia having an effect on the elections. Did they try to meddle? I don't know. They supposedly spent like $1,500 on Facebook ads. Are you kidding me? How much did we spend trying to keep Bibi Netanyahu from being reelected in Israel? Huh? We, meaning the American government, former President Barack Hussein Obama, spent some serious coin trying to keep Bibi Netanyahu from being reelected, yet he was. So there's no moral high ground here. We can't say we don't do such things. Yes, we do. Every election cycle we do it. Every nation tries to do it. Because even though we can put on an air of friendship and peace, and even though we can call people who we despise our friends, there is an underlying seething rage between nations. And eventually that rage spills over into war. It has happened since the beginning of man, and it will continue to happen. Now, another thing that I found absolutely stunning is that there actually seems to be a little headway being made with Kim Jong-un, the chunky monkey himself, the North Korean dictator. Apparently, Pompeo, which, if you don't know, was the head of the CIA, and now is the nominee to be the Secretary of State to replace Rex Tillerson. So Mike Pompeo actually went to North Korea and had a meeting with Kim Jong-un. And, as always, the media is apoplectic because they weren't looped in. They weren't there with the cameras. They weren't able to comment. Apparently, this thing has the potential of succeeding. Imagine how absolutely insane the other side will go if somehow they manage to denuclearize North Korea. There will be no end to the insanity. And I don't know where they can take it from here. Because I think they fired off everything they had. They're empty, man. They've got nothing left in the chamber. And if this succeeds, and by every account, there's the potential that it will. Because apparently Mike Pompeo had a very productive meeting with Kim Jong-un, and plans are still ongoing for Donald Trump to meet with him. So I don't know where this goes, but it's not looking good for the other side, is it? On another note, it would seem that Barbara Bush has passed. She was in her 90s, so it's always sad, you know. She had children. Her children will miss her. But that was in the news yesterday. So here we are. They're still trying to take the man down, and the man is still standing. And the other side is now so fractured that it's starting to cannibalize itself. And before you feel pity, before you feel empathy for the other side. Remember that had they won, you at this juncture would likely be threatened with prison for preaching the gospel of Christ. You at this juncture will likely be threatened with prison for calling sin by its name. So I, for one, will not shed a tear that the other side lost. What I will shed a tear over is that the church is back to its slumber once more. What I will shed a tear over is the fact that we are not redeeming the time as we ought, and I don't think we're going to get another chance to do what we have been called to do. That's worth shedding a tear over. But I'm not going to shed a tear over the fact that Democrats are losing their minds. I'm okay with that. So, I know that we spent another hour talking politics, but it's important to understand a frame of reference as to where we are. We're not out of the woods by any means. I mean, tensions are still high. But the more uncertain the other side becomes of their future, the more violent they're going to become. Look, right now they're floating the idea of 16-year-olds voting in Washington, D.C., because they realize that that's the only way they can ever win an election, is by trying to garner the support of the Tide Pod eaters and the condom sniffers. If you don't know about that, it's the newest trend. Apparently, Tide Pods aren't in anymore. They're not hip. But if you can take a condom and snort it through your nose and make it come out your mouth, then you're in the cool kid club. The problem is there is a risk of death by choking. That's not keeping the bright and energetic minds of the 16-year-olds that the Democrats want to see voting from doing it and filming themselves doing it, though. But that's another story for another time. I know. This is the world we live in. This is what the young kids are doing nowadays. But hey, let them tell you how you can protect yourself. Let them dictate everything from the tax brackets to whether or not you should be able to purchase a firearm to defend your family to whether or not reparations should be made to everyone. So that's if this is their last play, getting 16-year-olds to vote, then they really are desperate. It's getting to the point of just being comical. But by the same token, our side is just so lethargic. We don't know how to press an advantage anymore. We don't know how to fight on principle. Do it because it's right. This is why I smiled when I read that Romania is moving its embassy to Jerusalem. They have nothing to gain from this. We might even see a couple people with backpacks walk into marketplaces and detonate themselves because of it. Because there's a lot of travel back and forth from the Middle East to Romania. But they decided to do it because it's right. You don't do things because it's popular. You don't do things because you will have the applause of the highbrow crowd. You do it because it's right. It's the right thing to do. But we've lost sight of right. Now everything is partisan. And if you don't agree with me, then, well, I don't believe you should be alive anymore. The rhetoric has gotten that bad. Where if you disagree with someone over anything, be it big or minute, then the only thing that they have left in their quiver is to tell you that you should die. I've had that happen to me. I actually tried to make a logical argument regarding why taxpayers should not be funding Planned Parenthood. And the woman got so apoplectic that she said, I don't deserve to live. And of course, me being me, and those of you who know me, I said, is that what you said to your baby too? And she didn't take that too kindly either. Because you're not. I'm sorry. I'm not going to be treating people with kid gloves when they're trying to defend murder mills. I'm not going to try to spare your feelings when you're screaming in my face that I should be dead. Now, I don't go out to intentionally hurt anyone, but if the truth hurts, well, then that's between you and the truth, madam. So, have a little more backbone. Be willing to do the right thing. Even if you know you're going to get blowback. Even if you know that loud and shrill voices will come against you. Still do the right thing. Because throughout history, those who have done the right thing have been remembered. They've been pointed to as examples of what it is to be human. And those who've just gone along to get along have been forgotten by history, relegated to its dustbin. Irrelevant. Because whether we want to believe it or not, human beings innately know what the right thing is. Waxing philosophical, I didn't get much sleep last night. Victoria hurt her toe in the tub, and so we spent much of the night with her being a very unhappy child. She's better today, so hopefully I'll get a good night's sleep. But as always, thank you all for listening. Thank you for tuning in. Hopefully you got something out of it. Next week, we will be live once more. And we will speak of new things, hopefully better things. Until then, however, may God bless you. May God keep you. May you choose wisdom over folly. And may you know that Jesus is able not only to protect you, but to save your soul. Once again, thank you and God bless you. Gino, it's all yours. Well, I guess Gino is missing in action. So that's awkward. All right, we got 5 more minutes. What else can we talk about? I don't know. Let's talk about Jesus. He is good, and he is able, and he is worthy. Not just of your praise, but your obedience. See, a lot of people like to praise Jesus. We sing songs about praise to him. But far fewer people want to obey Jesus. Because when Jesus commands his servants to do certain things, it's a command. It is something that he intends to be obeyed. And very few people want to acknowledge the fact that there are certain conditions that we must meet in order to be used of God. And one of the conditions is that we walk in obedience and humbly before our Lord. That we don't try to get ahead of him. That we don't try to get him to see things our way. That we simply obey when he commands. And that we walk in humility, knowing that he is the source of power. He is the source of strength. He is the source of wisdom. It is this knowledge that should keep us humble. That if anything is noble in us, it's not us but him. See, it's not giving praise to God that is better than sacrifice. It's obedience that's better than sacrifice. Because there's a whole lot of praising going on, but very little obedience. All right, I hear Gino on the line. So, Gino, I already handed it off once. I'm going to hand it off again. Everyone, God bless you, and thank you for listening. Have a good night.
Thank you, Mike. My internet was a bit slow, and I tried to come on and couldn't. But, you know, I want to say one thing along with what Mike's saying about the church being proactive. Pray for us as we take on seeing hopefully the shutting down of 3 strip clubs in Dodge County, Wisconsin. 2 of them have been involved now in the last month with a sex trafficking indictment. And tonight we are going to have a meeting about the issue with a bunch of leaders in the area. And, you know, I'm amazed at so many times when we have to defend what's right and decent in our communities and that. A lot of times you'd think the church would come out in mass and pull together, but it turns out many times to be a small group of people that are willing to stand and defend what's right, noble, and honorable. And it's pretty much everything Mike's been sharing on the radio broadcast. If there's one overriding theme that I continue to hear Mike talk about, it's the church needs to wake up and to... You know, we're not going to have this window of time, an opportunity forever. We either redeem the time now, and can we take the land back? Well, guess what? Locally, we can see God give us victories, and we can see God stop the devil's plans and restore some decency and godly order to our communities. But with that, it was a great program tonight. Several people were listening to it here. At our production studios, and thank you, Mike. Every week it's a blessing, even though I'm part of the production end of it. I love the radio show. If you have a question for Mike, email him at lightoftruth@handofhelp.com. Also, if you can, get the book, The Battle Ready Believer. I think it encompasses what it means to defend the faith, and that's at handofhelp.com. And so God bless you for listening to this broadcast tonight and just being faithful in checking out this beautiful radio show that we have every week. So may God bless you and strengthen you.